Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't disagree with me, do you? Like, of all the silly things that people have said about the Browns over the last umpteen years, some of which ended up being right, this is furthest from the truth. The Browns were trying to sabotage or break Shedeur Sanders.
Look, if you're going to say anything, and this wouldn't make sense either because the Browns have two first-round picks in a draft that is going to be supposedly much, much better at quarterback at the top than what we just went through. Mm-hmm. Like, you could make the argument that, hey, slow playing Shedeur, like, and trying to compare it, even though, again, there's no comparison to the Chiefs and Mahomes or, you know, what the Packers did or have done on multiple occasions. It doesn't hold up as much because, again, they've got two first round picks. So Shedeur kind of has to play this year. You can't just sit him out the whole year, right? You can't redshirt him.
No. If that happens,
he's just going to be a backup quarterback in the league.
Well, you're right. And again, I think naturally, like, so people got upset with it. Well, boy, you know what? This seems like the perfect time for a training camp report, by the way.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Mentor.
It ain't like you're not going to see him. Like Ben Axelrod, our buddy from Awful Announcing, who's locally based, Ben had tweeted something that I disagreed with. I'm going to get to the phones here in a second. But Ben had said that it's already shaping up. He believes that the biggest argument that we're going to see this year, the dominant Browns argument of the season, is going to be whether or not Kevin Stefanski deserves another year based on the roster Andrew Berry gave him to work with. I don't think that's it. I think the argument is going to be, because eventually you will get a chance to see Shedeur Sanders. Have we seen enough Shedeur Sanders to move on? That, I think, is going to be the argument. I mean, you got four guys technically in there. I mean, Kenny Pickett will be back at some point here. So they will try to squeeze the trigger and see whether or not Kenny Pickett's got something for him. I know that we're about to talk about Dylan Gabriel here in a moment. Who knows how long that's going to go. The Joe Flacco conversation, Aditi put together a great piece with her and Joe Flacco last week. And then you have this star that is in so many ways transcendent of two programs, one that was the worst in college football. Now you have this guy who, you know, people just don't want to believe it, or some people just don't want to believe it because I think they've been burned by guys that we've made a big deal about in the past, seems to just have a good head on his shoulders. He drives a little bit fast for the people on 71, obviously, but Aaron Knapp just seems to be a nice young man. And I think that some people are waiting for the nefarious part out of it, and there's not. There's really
not. Nefarious?
I think that there's some people who have been burned. And then on the other side, I think there's some people who are just addicted to the arguments over Shedeur Sanders because, let's be serious here, when he was in college for the last 2 years at Colorado and certainly at Jackson State as well, there were a lot of people wondering, okay, is this kid good or is this just because of his father? Because we remember his father, who was one of the most polarizing athletes in football and baseball at the time in professional sports when he was coming out of college and then when he was playing both pro baseball and pro football. So you have a guy who comes from another guy who they've lived their life in the spotlight, and it's always been polarized. And I think that some people have a struggle to come to terms with that. My point is that the Browns are a business. They want their fan base to like them. They know that franchise quarterbacks are what drives this whole thing. It's what makes anybody believe that their team has a chance from year to year to year. And if he's got anything, damn it, they're going to try to make sure that they can, because he's obviously a star. He's obviously that. And I just don't believe, if anybody believes that this franchise, of all the teams, would try to sabotage Shedeur Sanders, it's just patently wrong.
I mean, if I were a diehard Shedeur first fan, and I'm not from Cleveland, and I'm listening to, you know, the training camp updates and Daryl Ryder, you know, come in and say, oh, I actually think they're getting Dylan Gabriel ready to start quicker than Shedeur, right, that I can understand being frustrated. I totally can, because in your mind, you think Shador should have been the second
higher
quarterback taken in the draft.
Higher ceiling guy, yeah. Yep.
And yet he's buried on the depth chart in Cleveland. He's fourth on the depth chart in Cleveland. I can understand that, but I could also make the case that, hey, it's a much better situation, slow playing Shador for maybe the second half of the season than throwing him on this team right now, coming off 3-14. Like, if anything, you want to talk about sabotaging? Sabotaging would be throwing him to the fire on a bad football team to start out the year when everybody is saying they might start out 0-6.
Speaking of D-Rod, we have that audio. Hit it.
Dylan Gabriel shows some flashes, but he's a 7-on-7 quarterback. Like, I feel like with the reps that they're giving him with the first team offense, they're preparing him to play this year. I don't know that that's a great idea, having him play this year, because I just don't think he's a legit NFL starter caliber quarterback. But that's obviously what they're going to do and what they want to do. You know, Jimmy Haslam kind of made it pretty apparent yesterday that he wants to see that this year.
So here's your beef, right? Your beef should be, why would they be plotting this course to play Dylan Gabriel and not Shador? If you were a Shador guy, and you're Shador first, and that's your world. You're invested into seeing him ASAP more than you care about the Browns or any of that. That, what you just heard from our Browns beat reporter, Dale Ryder.
But that's it.
That should drive you crazy.
Well, a person who loves Shador would say, well, that's what I'm talking about, Ken, with the disrespect. And I would go, no. It's not about disrespect. I think that you could look at it and say, over the last 6 years, they might not know what they're looking at. That's fair. But for the guy that sold that many jerseys already before he even took a snap at an NFL helmet, the charitable stuff, everything that the guy stands for, to say that they're not trying to make him anything of a starter or trying to sabotage or destroy him some way, somehow, I just think is patently false. From everything that's ever been said about this organization, of all the things, that one is just totally 100% incorrect. 216-474-0092. I'm going to give the phones here in a second. But that, my friends, is the training camp report.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
All right, 216-474-0092. Leach in Cleveland. You're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing? Yeah, I think they sabotaging Shador, man. They've been sabotaging him since the fifth round. When he got picked up in the fifth round, 144th, I think they've been sabotaging him since then.
Well, are you talking about the NFL or are you talking about the Cleveland Browns?
The NFL as a whole. As a whole, the Cleveland Browns, everybody is sabotaging. I'm a true Browns fan. I've been a Browns fan since I was 5. I'm 37 now.
So what have the Browns done that you don't like, that you believe that they are doing it to hurt Shador Sanders?
Not giving them a chance.
They're he played against the ones yesterday.
First time. And then
it's been a week of training camp. They started, what, last Wednesday? So it was Wednesday to Wednesday. It was 1 week.
And he was fourth on the depth chart to start out camp.
He was fourth on the depth chart to start out camp.
Man, I hear you guys, man. But from what I'm seeing on social media.
That's social media, but I'm telling you right now. I don't know what you're looking at. But hold on, Leach. What you are seeing on social media, there's plenty of things on social media every day that aren't true. But go with what the facts are. He took reps against the first team. That's Myles Garrett, the best defense the Browns have. He took reps against the first team within the first week, Wednesday to Wednesday.
And went 2-for-3. And let's see how they go treat him after that. How they go treat him after
we're doing
after
the camp stats.
No.
Okay, we're doing the camp stats thing. See,
I'm just saying, you guys are putting them up there. How come I can't use the camp stats?
I don't use the camp stats. No.
I might have relayed. Kenny didn't want the stats. He didn't want them.
Okay, Leach.
I might have shoved them down his throat a few times.
Leach, I'm going to turn off the microphone. You tell Lima about the camp stats, and I'm not going to pay attention. Go
ahead.
So, like I say, he went 2-for-3. 2-for-3 with the starters. So what are they going to do now? I guess, like you say,
that's 66.666666666%.
Yeah. And what was Dylan Gabriel yesterday? What did he go for yesterday?
I heard Dylan was bad.
Ah, gosh.
Really bad.
What did Flacco do yesterday? He went for like 3-for-5.
Kenny Pickett wasn't even out there either. I
didn't see Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett wasn't there. He's injured. Right. I understand. I understand that. I'm just saying, man. get a man a chance. Like they said, it's going to be a fair quarterback competition. Let him show.
I imagine, and thank you.
Leach, thank you for the call.
I do imagine, right? Preseason, Kenny, for years, I've been telling you, you got to really watch this preseason stuff. You're going to watch it from start to finish. I'm at the feast every year when they have the first preseason game. I am going to be dialed in from start to freaking finish.
See, I said, does Lima owe it to everybody to watch the entire preseason games? And here you are now.
I have been getting more excited by the day because I'm sitting here texting Daryl. I'm texting Mary Kay. I'm texting Zach Jackson. I'm texting Baldinger, my new friend. I'm texting them all. How much is this real? What part of this is real? Because are you going to really evaluate the numbers when they're not wearing pads? Okay, now they're wearing pads. But is it truly live? Are they tackling to the ground? How much? Finally, we've seen some tackling to the ground. But what about when it comes to the quarterback? All right, joint practices. They're going to be trying to kill the quarterback, but certain parts are going to be, They're gonna have some periods where it's not necessarily going to be full go. Preseason games are going to be trying to kill the quarterback.
So
they're not whistling stuff dead before you get there.
You're picking Shedeur Sanders over. It was Grandma Corky, right?
Yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah. So you were picking Shedeur Sanders over Grandma Corky's baked rigatoni. Baked ziti.
I might have to steal some to go upstairs and watch.
Excellent. So you wouldn't do that. You would pick the ziti over Kenny Pickett or anybody else?
In the past, yes.
That's a star, folks. That's as fair as it gets right
there. Jake DeLomes, the Brandon Whedons.
A guy who prides himself on not bothering to watch the preseason games. He's picking Shedeur Sanders over some of the best Italian cooking that you're going to find. That, my friends, is true respect. The Browns being fair to Shedeur Sanders. Real quick, did you see Myles Garrett's in the 99 Club?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Did you see TJ Watt's never been in the 99
I did
club?
Not know that.
Champions Post.
Yeah, we were talking about that off the air. I assumed when you win Defensive Player of the Year that just gets you the 99.
I thought so too because he was coming off of 2023, and I just assumed this was year two for Myles Garrett in the 99 club, and I saw the news yesterday. And I got to tell you, I haven't played Madden since I played with my son a couple of years ago. And I told you I frustrated him and he wouldn't play me anymore because I told him that he was playing video games and I was playing football and I just beat him 22-0. And that frustrated him to the point where he doesn't want to play that. And my son doesn't like playing video games with me anymore because I rub it in, which is, to me, good parenting. Yeah. I don't let him win in Mario Kart. I don't let him win in anything.
You do. You act like the Cleveland Browns defense after every three and out or every turnover.
No loss, man. I do. It's probably going to be traumatic for him, but that's the way I treat him. So I don't play Madden that much, and I play an old college football video game that we've gone over too many times, but I don't play Madden that much, so I don't know. The significance of 99 I know is a big deal. I'm going to get to the other stuff here in a second. I know it's a big deal. Is it still a big deal to the players? Because it still seems to be.
Oh, I would think it's huge for the players.
I love... Even though it's not a great big deal to me, and I got much bigger issues to deal with the Browns, like who's going to be a quarterback? Are we going to actually win some games? Is the front office worth keeping? Is the coaching staff worth keeping? I mean, these are actual things that Browns fans are considering. New stadiums coming up here in the next few years. Like, these are real things. But to the players, it matters. And because I think it matters to TJ Watt, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Because it's another thing that bothers TJ Watt.
Yeah, and I mean, until the Steelers do anything in the playoffs, like, yeah, they're going to rub it in, their record against the Browns, their Super Bowls that all happened, most of them before I was born.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, they're going to rub all that stuff, but it's nice that the Browns do have a few things. Because when you go to this fight with the Steelers and you have nothing to fight with, it just turns into name-calling. Like, you want a little bit more than name-calling. You want to have something attributable.
I've been to Pittsburgh, and I don't want to sit there and say nasty things about the city because I think we're too close geographically, and I think the cities are very closely related in so many ways when it comes to industry and all those other things. So I really don't want to say anything nasty about the people, but I will just sit there and say that I find their football team repulsive, and I find the fact that they are fans of that football team
and their
repulsive.
Hosts, their radio hosts are bored by their football
and
team.
And their radio hosts are bored, and they're not as good as us. So that's one thing we will always have over them.
So here is the full list of the Madden 99 Club this year. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Saquon Barkley, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Lane Johnson, and Myles Garrett.
Lane Johnson's a 99.
He is a 99. So who are we missing here?
Say that list again real quick.
Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, the only two quarterbacks on that list. Saquon Barkley, Justin Jefferson.
Oh, okay, stop. We're missing Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
We are Why missing. Isn't Patrick Mahomes a 99?
And Owen, you brought this to my attention. This is not the first time he's been left off the list.
I'm looking. I just pulled up a comprehensive list, right? And so Madden 23, he was not on there. 24 and 25, he was on there on the 99 club.
Josh Allen and Lamar 99s? I got no problem with Josh Allen and Lamar being 99s. Why wouldn't Mahomes be a 99?
Well, especially because those two are both, we would use the term.
Well, they were your two MVP candidates.
That's true. But we would also say video game players. Like when I watch Lamar Jackson, I'm like, that's a video game guy. So that makes sense. That's cool. Josh Allen,
That's a good thing to be, I guess.
Yeah. Josh Allen, does he account for like 45 to 50 touchdowns every year?
Is Mitch listening?
I didn't say AFC championship player.
Mitch, are you there?
Video game player.
Go back and look and see if you can what Saquon Barkley was going into last year.
Oh, because he had to have gotten a bump.
That's what I'm saying. If he was like a 98 last year, then maybe I'll back off this. But this is just, now, if you really want to do it, this is another argument why Jalen Hurts might be the most disrespected quarterback in the NFL. Maybe the most disrespected
he's not
player
getting
in the
bump.
NFL.
Saquon was at a 92 last
Saquon
year.
Saquon was a 92 rating. And goes to a 99. So everybody's saying that you won the Super Bowl thanks to Saquon Barkley. Which
Barkley averaged,
for all we know, may
remember,
be true. But
2 years ago, this has to be one of the biggest jumps. In 2023 with the Giants in 14 games, he had a 3.9 yard per carry average.
Get him out of the league.
He was 5.8 last year. Oh, going to Philadelphia boosted him almost two yards a carry.
Lane Johnson,
and
how
he
do
jumped
you,
backwards over that guy. That helped.
How
that
do you make
help.
An offensive lineman a 99, but then you boast the running back up to 99?
I know. You're right. But saw him play like a video game player last year.
What's Jalen Hurts going into this season, Mitch? Can you look that up by any chance? And get back to me on this, because I said, well, we may find out that he is. We won't know Jalen Hurts is overrated here for the next couple of years.
87.
He's at 87?
What quarterback is he on that list? Can you find that out? I would imagine there is a slew of quarterbacks ahead of him. Could Baker be ahead of him?
I mean, they weren't playing with 10 guys out there. Jalen Hurts did have to help the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
Well, and he was amazing.
They're a great overall football team.
They use him as a battering ram, too.
So. Oh, battering ram Jalen Hurts. He couldn't even finish the whole season. Remember, Kenny Pickett had to go in there.
He only had 5 incompletions in the Super Bowl. In the NFC Championship game, he was 20 of 28.
I just can't believe Jalen Hurts is that disrespected. I don't think he's of Mahomes or Allen or anything like that.
Not only did he throw 221 yards to 2 touchdowns, he also carried it 11 times for 72 yards.
And he was 87, right? It feels like he should be a 90.
He should be in the 90s. Yes. He should be in the 90s.
It's like
the Super Bowl winning quarterback who is their franchise quarterback. They've paid Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it's
this isn't Nick Foles.
You know, he only threw for 18 touchdowns in a regular season. See, we are
How many
turning,
did he run for?
Right, well, that's the thing. He ran for 14. And then how many first downs did he convert?
So how is he just an 87?
So we are
is
in a...
Is Howie Roseman paying them off to keep him motivated?
I'm telling you, we are approaching an NBA world in the NFL where we do regular season and playoffs, and we got to start thinking about it that way. He has been a huge playoff performer.
Now, you just gave me the Super Bowl stats of Jalen Hurts, right? Well, you remember halfway. I mean, there was such a bad beat.
Want to hear some great golf storytellers? Check out Invested in the Game, an original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode dives into the stories of people who have poured their time, resources, and passion into the world of golf, like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. So why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Because their clients don't just invest in markets, they invest in their passions too. Listen at charlesschwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eaton, I think the Chiefs just wanted to get out of there in the third and fourth quarter. So, I mean, that had something to do with it as well. Owen is nodding his head like, yeah, probably they were.
I don't know. Chiefs fans got out of there.
Owen said, I'm going to bed.
The score is, and I forgot it. I was watching a Kelce video the other day. He was on Bustin' with the Boys and they were asking him some questions about, like, hey, did you quit? What time did you quit? Did you know it was happening? And he was like, well, we didn't quit, but there was a point where they had the backup D lineman in, and you were like, okay, They've raised the flag already. So they did. The Chiefs did score a couple late touchdowns, I think, to make it a more respectable
40
score.
40-22 is the final thing score.
That thing was 40-6.
Yeah, 40-6 at one point.
Forever.
Which I can't make fun of you, because if I won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, I would have slept just fine like myself.
I'm more interested in having those AFC Championship game quarterbacks, which there's one that's made it every year since 2018.
Gio in Cleveland, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Gio.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Gio. Go right on ahead, friend.
I would like to say that I think that Kevin Stefanski and the Browns are actually doing these two rookies a service, and I don't understand why all these people are in such a hurry to just grant Shedeur Sanders the starting position. I think both of those young men, but especially Shedeur, has handled this really well, completely gone against everything that I thought how he would have handled it. And I know both you and Owen coach young men. If you've ever coached a young man in your life, he literally is just doing all the right things and saying all the right things. I compare this situation to almost like what's going on and what happened in Green Bay with Jordan Love. They're really benefiting both of these guys. They're giving them the time to become a professional. And then here's a word that I'm just getting sick of hearing Browns fans say. They're not giving him a chance. They're not giving. Listen, nothing. Do we not learn anything from the LeBron thing? Like, he has to earn it. I believe Kenny Pickett has earned the opportunity in the NFL to try to be a starting quarterback. I think Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur both need to earn the reps that they get. And I think that's what Kevin Stefanski is doing. And for the first time in Cleveland Browns history, we're actually handling a rookie quarterback the way you're supposed to handle him. Earn your reps. Learn your playbook. It's going to be your turn. Be prepared when you get that opportunity. That's all. I just think they're really handling it well.
I think we may get to a point, Gio, and I love the call, and I thank you very much for it, because obviously I agree with everything you say. We may reach to a point where we go, when do we take the training wheels off? When do we pull them out of the car seat?
Well, isn't that going to be the preseason game?
We may reach that.
Isn't that the start of the? I know preseason games, we've seen Browns quarterbacks have electrifying performances but, and then still be terrible.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Seneca Wallace.
Brandon Whedon the day against the Detroit Lions, and well, I was sitting with you.
And I said Jake Delhomme. Jake Delhomme had a good one too, didn't he? So preseason is certainly not everything, but it is Jake the DeLome. First chance to see quarterbacks perform in their element when you could tell the difference between practice and games. When there are some guys who are chronically not great in practice and then can step up in games and it becomes a different thing because they get a feel. They actually do have the threat of getting their head taken off because there are guys trying to make rosters. Like, that's where I'm really excited to see Shedeur.
What I'm saying is if I get to the point, and I think you're right about that, which, by the way.
Don't you think the joint practice is more than
that? Yeah, but we don't get to see it. That's what sucks. We don't get to see it. You're right.
I don't know that.
For the coaches,
I don't know that the other teams are going to run out the guys that I want to see him go against.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
But if I'm making it, if I think I can make an argument someday down the line here within the next month even, like in kind of what, you know, Gio's talking about, what Lima's talking about. If I get to a point where I think they're babying them too much, well, then I really can't say they're sabotaging them. You can't say they're trying to destroy Shedeur Sanders like Uncle Luke did, or sabotage Shedeur Sanders if they're babying them. You can't do it both ways. I could say I'm being too cautious, but that's not trying to destroy it. That's just me being, maybe I'm inept then if I'm the Cleveland Browns. That's not good. See, people, this is what I'm getting upset with. The Browns have gotten in their way so many times, their own way so many times before, but they're not actively trying to destroy him. They've done a perfectly fine enough job destroying some careers on their own if they really wanted to. And when it comes to actually trying to help him out, they're trying to help him out. So don't tell me about babying him and all of a sudden and then there's going to be a sabotaging going on. Like when I said a couple of segments ago, when I did get really animated about the stuff about sabotaging Shedeur, and people keep bringing up the first team reps. He's taking reps against the first team. So they trust him enough to go with the second team to take reps with the first team. So they're going to put him in there in certain situations. They are testing him. And remember, guys, it's been 1 week of training camp. You've had a day off in there. You've had Wednesday to Wednesday. You've gone from throwing to ball boys. He's gone from throwing to ball boys, according to Daryl, to now taking reps against the first team with the second teamers. And who's the guy that, which, by the way, 2 second trivia, I got an idea for next week. Who's the guy that ends up being on the all the highlights that the Browns are showing, the wide receiver that we didn't know was a real name? Hold on, I got to find it. It's not Sam Cannell or South Carolina.
Not that one.
No, it's it starts with the Gage.
Gage, yes.
Larvadane. Gage Larvadane. If you're making him out to be a guy that they show highlights of, what is a quarterback supposed to do? What's a quarterback supposed to do?
Elevate those other receivers.
Guys and make them look better.
Well, apparently they've all been elevating Deontay Johnson. Is he wide receiver 2 for the Browns?
I didn't say it was a great wide receiver room. I'm pointing out that this guy is, in this wide receiver room, this guy is probably wide receiver 6 or 7. Yeah,
Larvadane?
Larvadane going into yesterday might have been wide receiver number 9. Wow.
You're sitting there. You've got it pulled up in front of you.
Rank them.
Power rank what?
The wide receivers in the room right now. The wide receivers with 4 syllables in their last name.
Where's Floria? Is he,
he's in there.
Is he jumping up?
All right, here we go. Number 1, Jerry Jeudy. Number 2, oh my God. Number 2, Cedric Tillman. Whoa!
Putting in the work.
Number 3 might be Deontay Johnson.
Jamari Thresh had a nice day.
He did. I like Jamari Thresh. Fine young man. Good interview, too.
Does that help you catch balls?
See, when we power rank things, it is a very sobering practice for what the season could end up being.
And that's why we do it.
Like, if you want to go nuts and get excited about things, just power rank some of the positions. Power rank the cornerbacks right now. Number 1, Number 1, Denzel Ward, all right.
They're moving Delvin down.
Hey, you don't know what's going to happen by the end of the year. Number 2, Greg Newsome.
All right. First round pick.
Is he going to be on the trade block the entire season?
Are you going to trade him?
Are we going to be doing that again?
I got to have someone play that position.
I don't know. If the Guardians are talking about trading Kwan.
Donovan McMillan, who sounds like he's going to be fighting for the TNA championship, the Cruiserweight championship, that name.
Anytime, anywhere.
Saw him at the Spectrum.
Cam Mitchell, who last year, late round pick. Good, then here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sobering practice there.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
We'll get to Browns practice here in just a little bit, but I want to take you guys out to a quick visit to La Trobe over at Pittsburgh Steelers training camp yesterday. We just got done talking about one of the members of the 99 Madden Club in Miles Garrett. His name was said by Steeler fans yesterday, and it was not used kindly. This is Steeler fans and TJ Watt on the Pat McAfee Show yesterday, courtesy of ESPN.
Cam
Miles Garrett!
Baby Cam.
And that's what training camp is. All here with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
I believe that's a carryover from the previous chant right there. TJ, any facial expression that you make right now will be judged by everybody in Cleveland and across the NFL.
Best fans of the world, man. I'm glad we got the deal done so I could be here in front of everybody, man.
Just letting all out there in La Trobe.
Didn't most of you guys want him traded?
Just despicable.
Didn't most of you Steelers fans want him traded? Didn't most of those guys doing that chant want him traded?
So this is the hard part about arguing the TJ Watt stuff as a Browns fan is both fan bases at some point had to break rank with their star defensive player, based on their contract situation. And in Miles Garrett's case, not really the contract situation, but him asking to be traded too. So it's like, we are looking at each other, staring at each other with the same issues, except that our guy's better now.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about, golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, which at least, I think well yeah, but at least our guy came out and said it. He was just posting weird right. stuff on Instagram. You're going to say it with your chest, TJ Watt.
Going from Steelers practice.
Rabbit ears, TJ Watt.
From Steelers practice to Browns practice yesterday, which, you know, we've kind of had this conversation the last couple of days with players having injuries like MJ Emerson or players having to go off the field yesterday like DeJuan Jones, how the Browns should be handling practice going from what Peter Lynn said yesterday, the camp cupcake, to a potential harder practice. And this is Greg Newsom yesterday saying that, hey, practice as of now for 2025, it's been pretty good.
We're doing everything with a purpose. Everything we do, every meeting, every walkthrough, every practice, we're coming out there with a purpose, and that's to be great. You know, we're flying around the ball. We're going out there. We're not making the same mistakes twice. I feel like the leadership, the energy is there from day one.
I mean, even for a guy who said yesterday he wants to be a Brown for life, he's giving the coaches compliments right now.
Well, wouldn't you?
I hear a version of this every year.
Wouldn't you? At Browns camp. Wait a minute. Hold on. What do you want him to say at training camp?
I'm not wanting him to say anything. I'm just saying that's. It seems like the Browns are at least having a good time at practice at this moment, even though the style has changed from the previous years.
What is the change of styles?
I just said we had Peterlin on the other day saying Camp Cupcake the last couple of years over the Greenbrier.
Well, it was the last year they called it Camp Cupcake. The year before it was hard ass practice.
What do you think, Mitch? What do you think of the level of physicality at training camp so far this year compared to other years?
From what I've seen outside of camp right now, it looks like they're more focused. It looks like they're trying to at least get themselves more prepared for this season than they were for last.
Mitch Spinell thinks the team is more focused this year based on what he's seen and observed.
I want it to be even harder.
At Browns training camp.
I want Kevin Stefanski walking through going, this is my rifle, this is my gun.
Do you think he's capable of a sort of a personality like that? I mean, we've seen him, you guys have seen him in like Browns practice compared to what he is in public, but do you think he's like capable of that sort of personality?
I think Kevin would be very good. We've never said anything really unfair, patently just totally unfair of Kevin. Professionally, maybe here and there,
Kenny,
where he would definitely be able to
never say anything unfair.
But
on the radio,
if I like made it really personal out of nowhere or something, I think Kevin would be very good at dressing me down, but not in a loud way.
Anthony, don't you like to say things that are both fair and balanced?
And balanced, and with a distinction. Balanced, all capital letters. Nice. That's how much I believe in it.
That's great.
What's up next, Mitch?
Going from that to the diamond yesterday, the Guardians victorious over the Rockies 5-0 to take the series 2 out of 3. A much better mindset than where we were at the end of Monday night. And Stephen Vogt even talked about how this stretch of the Guardians has been pretty good coming out of the All-Star break.
This has been quite the 13-game stretch coming out of the break. Travel for 3 days, you play a hot doubleheader. You know, we have a tough day on Monday as a team. But this is, like we've said, this group's resilient. They more than earned this off day, and I'm really excited to see them again on Friday.
So that's 14 out of 20 right now. The question is here with the deadline looming at 6 p.m. We'll have updates for you if there are any throughout the morning. Does this stretch convince Chris Antonetti and the Guardians management enough to be like, hey, we can make something out of it here. You're only 2.5 back of the wild card. We can maintain our veterans to try and make a push. And if not, we can try to maintain this into 2026.
You always wonder how hard it is. The team is definitely hearing the rumors. They're not stupid. They don't live in a vacuum. They've got a lot of free time on their hands once they get to the clubhouse. They have their phones. They're getting texts. They certainly understand when the reality is what it is, which is they're a 500 baseball team. They've had one decent stretch of baseball, which has been, 2.5, 3 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Now, they're coming off a series win, but they're still 9 games back of the scuffling Detroit Tigers. And they've got so many teams ahead of them en route to the wild card. And they also know the situation in town, which is, they're not typically going to be big-time buyers. They've only been that way a few times. You know, even in this last successful run of the decade, they've only been buyers a few times. So I do wonder, do they rally behind that? What is the psyche of those players in that clubhouse?
I said it earlier in the show. I think if they, everything they accomplish from here on out is in spite of ownership in the front office. Maybe just the ownership. I don't know. Maybe the front office really does not want to trade Stephen Kwan by any means necessary or whatever. I mean, according to Mark Feinstein, they're working to trade these guys. So it could be a very ugly afternoon here for a lot of Guardians fans. And when you're 2.5 games out of the wild card spot, which we're supposed to, this whole professional sports is supposed to be about trying to win. Well, it's really about entertainment, putting on a good show. But really, for us fans, it's about trying to win. And when you openly are not really trying to do that, then yeah, you're winning in spite of them now. And that might be a call to arms for these guys. Might be a Rachel Phelps situation, Mitch.
Rachel Phelps.
One of the players that spoke yesterday after the game was David Fry. He was asked about, you know, having to deal with all the sort of situations involving Kwan. He was also asked this because he has been out all season in the field. He's been in the lineup this year. He was asked if he may be able to take part in the field this season.
We've had talks and we'll kind of see just how the year goes. But my focus is just rehab, making sure the arm feels good, get ready for my at-bats. And if a situation comes up, then stay ready for that.
Now, if the Guardians were to go after a catcher at the deadline here, then this point is moot. But would you want a guy like Fry trying to get some reps by the end of the year compared to what we've had at the catching position this season?
Compared to Bo Naylor?
And Austin Hedges?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Said so defiantly there.
I'd rather have the one-armed man from The Fugitive than Bo Naylor at times.
I don't think
I don't care.
The struggle isn't with Bo Naylor.
Is that a better option than Jim Abbott?
The struggle isn't with Bo Naylor.
I'd rather have Jim Abbott.
The struggle is with...
Oh, they're going to trade away Stephen Kwan. I don't care. Tommy Lee Jones, man.
Finally here, we had a quote from Sophie Cunningham yesterday in the WNBA. Now, she has been one of the bigger headliners of the WNBA this season behind Caitlin Clark. And she has a new podcast on Colin Cowherd's Volume Network and had a very poignant point about Caitlin Clark.
And it literally like pisses me off when people are like, she's not the face of the league.
Who would be?
What?
Sabrina? No.
No, there's really good, well-known people in our league. I'm not discrediting them. Like, we have a lot of badasses in our league.
Yeah.
Like, but when people try to argue that she's not the face of our league,
yeah,
or if our league would be where we're at without her, you're dumb.
Yeah.
You're literally dumb.
I enjoy her because I think she's embracing a role of being a villain. And I say that as a person in Cleveland who is going to get a team and is excited about having a WNBA franchise again, and that she still ripped the area. And then tried to like kind of walk it back and made it even worse.
Call us Cincinnati.
Which then I thought, if she thought it was Cincinnati,
right. She is definitely right
then
about
maybe
Caitlin
she wasn't really ripping Cleveland at all. Mm. I don't know. I can tell you this, Kenny. I pulled up the shirt that has Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham. I've already expressed to you that my wife has said some interesting things that have been eye-opening about this player in particular. She bought this shirt.
Your wife bought that shirt.
I don't know. Maybe you get to see her wear it one of these days. She is all in on Sophie Cunningham.
Is she going to wear it to the gala we're going to this weekend?
That's what I wondered. I wondered if she was going to do that. It is going to be...
Interesting choice by Sarah Ono.
She has sent me interesting texts regarding Sophie Cunningham that I'm not willing to share on the air.
Well, I kind of want you to share them on the
air. You said that once on the air, have said on the air,
yeah.
And you said it on the air.
Some people got frustrated. Yeah. They're like, what the hell? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. It seemed like a very positive thing to say about somebody.
I don't know if Byrne heard it and thought the same thing.
So, can you say stuff that would get yourself in trouble if you just blame it on your wife who doesn't listen to the show? And go, my wife texted me this.
But she did. I could show you the text. And so, listen, Caitlin Clark is the face of the league. Sophie Cunningham's not far behind.
My wife texted me this about the American Eagle ad.
What did she say?
No, I'm just saying.
Don't even bring that up.
Could you just blame it on your wife?
Yeah. It's a fun crutch. Why not?
That's it for about last night.
You don't listen to the show. Might as well blame her.
If you love golf or just great storytelling, you've got to check out Invested in the Game, a new original podcast from Charles Schwab. Each episode highlights remarkable people who have dedicated their time, energy, and heart to the sport. You'll hear from voices like Sam Hahn, CEO of Lab Golf, PGA Tour player Ben Griffin, and Nick Schreiber, the visionary behind Old Barnwell Golf Club. Now, you might be wondering, why is Schwab doing a golf podcast? Well, you might already know Schwab from their five other podcasts covering investing and the markets. Quick plug, you can find those at schwab.com/podcasts. But this one's different. Invested in the Game goes beyond finance into something many of Schwab's clients are deeply passionate about, golf. Schwab has supported the game for decades through events, promotions, and sponsorships at both the pro and collegiate level. This podcast is their way of sharing the incredible stories behind the game. Listen now at schwab.com/the game or wherever you get your podcasts.